and welcome to another edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hoog, your host. Glad to have you with us today. As my old friend Wizzo used to say many, many moons ago, he says, if you can't have as much fun as possible, have as much fun as you possibly can. And that's what he said before we taped the program. All the time. Just a little bit of advice for you as you listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City. And we will have as much fun as we possibly can today. I don't know if we can match the amount of fun we had during last week's program, but we're certainly going to try. We had a lot of fun during the show last week, and we're going to continue today. We're going to speak with Sandy Miller. Sandy Miller is with us. She is the director and executive director of the new Grassroots Theater Company. Get it? Tall Grass Theater Company. Grassroots. Even I picked up on that.
There you go.
Of the Tallgrass Theater Company, I guess based out of Gardner, Kansas, but also Paola, Kansas as well.
That's right. We are doing our main stage shows in Paola, Kansas right now at the Civic Center there, and it's wonderful. And we are doing also our Tallgrass Junior shows in Gardner, Kansas.
Yeah, how far away from where, approximately from where we are right now, is Paola?
Paola is about 45 minutes south.
45 minutes south.
From Kansas City proper. And it's about 25 minutes from Olathe south.
Well, you're then not the furthest theater company I've had. I've had people from Lexington, believe it or not, Topeka, Lawrence, of course,
yeah.
Leavenworth, all around the area. So you don't get that award. I think either Leavenworth or Lexington probably still has the record, but you're getting closer for me.
Well, how about the fact that we have two towns, two communities that we work with? Can we get an award for that?
We can do that for you. We can do that.
Okay.
How old is the Tallgrass Theater Company? I've gotten emails from them periodically, maybe the last two or three years.
We were established in 2011. Our first show was Laura Ingalls Wilder, Voice of the Prairie, which we performed in Gardner. And so we are getting ready to start our fourth season.
Yeah, it's referred to in your literature as a grassroots theater company.
Mm-hmm.
What's the philosophy on that? Building from the very root of the community?
Exactly. All of our actors and performers come from areas surrounding our community, and we don't have professional actors, so to say, but, you know, our actors and actresses have a lot of heart and a lot of talent. We're very pleased with the talent that we have had come out to our shows, and they come from all over. We have had actors come as far as from Kansas City, mm-hmm. and as far south as Paola and Ottawa to be in our shows.
Yeah.
So that's what we are.
Yeah. Well, the current show, I guess, that's going to happen come July 17th is Hansel and Gretel.
Right.
And you told me before the show there were different versions of it you could use.
Right. This version was adapted by Catherine Schultz-Miller, and there are no child abandonment issues or nobody gets baked in the oven.
Yeah, they just wander off on their own.
They wander off with their father. Their father is with them when they wander off. And there is a witch, but she even survives this whole thing. So it's very family friendly. It's good for everybody. Bring your 2-year-old, your 3-year-old. There's no problem there with being too scary.
Yeah,
just a little thrill.
Are most of the shows in the children's theater vein? I noticed there was one show you have coming up that sounds a little bit more adult.
It is. You know, it is The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. And it is, again, not the Johnny Depp version.
not quite the anger involved.
No, not anger issues here. But it is more in line with the Walt Disney version from the 1950s. It's a lot of fun. Again, this also was adapted by Catherine Schultz-Miller. So it's very family-friendly, just enough tingle to keep you going.
Is she a favorite writer, adapter for you?
You know, she has won several awards that I really like. I like the way that she adapts the scripts for the families. As a matter of fact, Catherine also adapted the script for Laura Ingalls Wilder. She actually wrote that script, I'm sorry, for that. But she is in several community theaters in Kansas City area, used her scripts with ArtReach children's play scripts.
Well, so. You do use her a lot. You should have her come and be at one of the shows.
I would love that. I would love for Catherine to do that. And she has, like I said, won lots of awards for her playwriting, but she's also an actress, mostly appearing in the 1970s commercials and different things like that.
Sure.
Different movies, movies of the week type things.
I guess she decided that she liked writing children's style scripts.
I guess. She's quite an amazing woman, yes.
Yeah. Well, if anyone doesn't know the story of Hansel and Gretel, why don't you give them a little rundown? I mean, there are stories told, of course, but you probably can embellish on that a little bit.
Well, Hansel and Gretel, in our situation, in our story, Hansel and Gretel are, again, their family is looking at not having enough money for food. And the father, who is a woodcutter, he tends to want to use all the wood that he cuts to make puppets.
Oh, okay.
And so that's why they're going into the woods to find wood to cut to make into puppets. And that's when they meet the lady who puts him under a spell and turns him into a dancing bear. Yeah, so it's a lot of fun.
I know some
I don't want to give away too much of the
I know
plot.
Some Wiccan ladies.
Okay.
It's okay. They use the term witch. So
okay.
I think it's okay if you use the term witch.
All right.
Yeah, it's all in the folklore of it. And
right.
Somehow
right.
along the way, the Wiccans got a bad reputation. Some would say probably because of stories like this.
Well, you know, what's really great about our story is that, you know, good triumphs over evil, and everybody's happy in the end, and it's a lot of fun. Our kids, Samantha Bard and Christopher Waterman, they do a great job as Hansel and Gretel. They are great actor and actress that are just coming up through the ranks in our program, but also a lot of our kids in our program also work with other programs like CYT and the Culture House and community high schools like the Paola High School and the Gardner Edgerton High School, which both have great theater programs.
Yeah, when you cast this at some point, I guess you put out a general casting call. And how many kids did you have turn out?
Well, for this one, we did an in-house casting with this one. But normally, like when we had Narnia, we had 67 kids and adults. Our shows are also adults, and we are intergenerational. This one happens to be just our youth show, but most of our programs are intergenerational. We do two intergenerational shows a year. We do one youth show a year, and then one just primarily adult show a year. We just finished Leaving Iowa, which was a really funny, funny show that was primarily adults, and we're having a good time on the prairie. So,
about the prairie, on the prairie, we're speaking with Sandy Miller, the director and executive director of the new Grassroots Theater Company, Tall Grass Theater Company, based out of both Paola and Gardner, Kansas.
Yes.
As well. Are they close together? I'm not familiar with the map.
Gardner is about 20 minutes from Paola if you go down through Hillsdale. So, but you can also go straight from 35. So
the two communities kind of coalesce together and share this.
That's company. Right. Again, talking about the wonderful theater, the Schwartz Family Theater that they have there in Paola, is a great place for us to do our main shows because it's friendly for both communities, and that beautiful theater was built in 1916. And with the Ursuline Academy, and then the Ursuline Academy sold the theater to Paola for a dollar.
Yeah.
And the folks in Paola have just taken it under their wing and have gone through several renovations. But there's beautiful stained glass windows in this theater. It's first time I walked in, I cried. It was just just saying, please love me. And and we have. We've adopted the theater, and the town has adopted us, and we are having a good time in Paola.
Yeah. Well, tell me about the beginnings of the theater, if you would. A group of people got together, I'm going to assume, and wanted to start something.
Well, actually, what it was, it happened that, I've been doing theater for a while, and on a community level, and I just came to realization one day is, why not do this all the time? Tallgrass was born as a brainchild of myself and another friend, Karen Lavella in Gardner, that we just wanted. There are a lot of companies in Kansas City and a lot of community theaters in Kansas City that are doing musicals, but there are not a whole lot of community theaters or theaters that are doing plays. And we wanted to have a venue for that to happen, or to have an avenue for that to happen. I would hear all the time, you know, if I was involved in a musical, wow, that's great. I wish I could sing, but I can't sing. I do want to act. And it's like, oh, well, you know what? Let's look into this. So that's where the Tallgrass was born. A love from the heart.
Sure.
You know, the word amateur has two different meanings, and one of the meanings is from the heart, or a great love. And everyone that I know that's involved in theater, community theaters in our area, and they have a love for it. They yeah. want to tell a story. They want to paint a painting. They, you know, it's their desire, and we're having a great time.
Out in the Gardner Paola area. You have an extensive background here, if you don't mind. Worked with the Olathe School District as a theater intern, with the Gardner Edgerton High School as a drama mentor, with the Kansas City Youth Friends. I know some of those people over there. With the Kansas City Renaissance Festival, taught theater arts at Olathe Christian School, and has also been an actor, a director, and taught at many, many theater summer camps. Do you have one going this summer? I guess not. You're doing this.
Actually, we do. We have two theater camps coming up in July. We have American Girl Camp in Gardner, Kansas, happening the week right after Hansel and Gretel. And then the week after that, we're having a Snow White camp in Paola.
Snow White.
Yes.
American Girl Camp. I assume that's for young ladies only.
You know what? Boys could come if they like to.
To American Girl Camp.
If,
I can
if
just
they
hear
wish
them
to.
In school.
If,
right? if, you if, went to American Girl Camp.
If they wish to. It's, you know, we are having fun with the stories of the American girls. And also, we take our girls to the Mahaffey House in Olathe to experience what it's like to live one day on the trail.
Uh-huh.
And you can see this history connection between the Tallgrass and Kansas. And
sure.
We love Kansas history. And we do a little bit of the music and a little bit of the show from the Circle of Friends, Broadway show from American Girls. And then with Snow White, we're going to put on a production in 1 week.
Oh, in 1 week?
In 1 week. We'll have a showcase for parents on that Friday.
You're going to rush them through it, huh? Do they have to be a little more talented or experienced to be able to learn all that in a week?
Not really, because we take them through the paces. And not only are they not only learning the performance side of it, they're learning the crew side of it as well. They're going to be the children get to design costumes. They get to paint the sets. It's a lot of fun.
Well, they get a whole roundabout experience. You know, some people, won't go into any names, but you know, they perform all the time. They don't really know a lot of the technical things, and that always surprises me.
Well, that's one of the things that we want to do with our program is to be an educational unit. We want to learn all aspects of the theater, and being part of the crew is an amazing part of the show. We can't do a show without our crew, and that's a shout out to my crew. You know who you are. From set design to even publicity, it's a team, and you have to be part of the team. There's nobody greater or less when you do a production. The lead actor to the ticket taker, you're just as important. And I hope that we make everyone involved with the Tallgrass feel important, because we can't do it without anyone. We need everyone.
Sure. Well, yes, publicity is very important.
Yes, it is.
No one would know about the show. You probably wouldn't have been here.
Right, right. A shout out to Jennifer Smith for contacting you all. So, yes, it is very, very important.
It is. It takes a whole community kind of coming together. Is the Tall Grass Theater Company, I guess that's a primarily a 501c3 volunteer organization?
Exactly, yes. We're a non-for-profit, and I always laugh because we take our non-for-profit very seriously.
Well, you need to.
We have to, yes. It's sort of like the Judy Garland, Andy Rooney.
Yeah, Mickey Rooney.
Mickey Rooney. Yes, sorry, I was thinking of the other podcast guy.
Yeah.
Mickey Rooney, you know, just find a barn and put on a play. You
know? That's right.
So that's what we do.
Yeah, get some sheets from Mom, hang them up.
That's right.
For a curtain.
And we have done that. We have gotten sheets and turned them into backdrops.
I've been to places where that's been done as well.
Yeah. Yeah, well, hopefully they don't look that way. But
the current show is Hansel and Gretel. But how many years can you remember the plays you've done over the years before this?
Well, we have Loring's Wilder was our first one. And
did you need to get special permission for that, or is that just a published play?
That is a published play. That is Catherine's own play, Catherine Schultz Miller's own play. If You Give a Mouse a Cookie, that was our second play. Anna Green Gables, again, we love history at the Tallgrass. Our newest play was Leaving Iowa. That was actually produced in 2003 for the first time. And To Kill a Mockingbird had to be one of my favorite. We did that last October and got great reviews from the Kansas City Examiner. On that one, we are looking toward the future. We're going to be producing Sarah Plain and Tall in April, mm-hmm. and Sleeping Beauty next summer, Arsenic and Old Lace next October, and It's a Wonderful Life, the radio show. The radio show.
Yeah. Well, there's two versions.
Yeah.
The American Heartland Theater did both of them, and I find it ironic that even though several years had passed in between, some of the same actors played the same part they played in the other version.
Well, as for the rest of this year, we've got, of course, Hansel and Gretel, the 17th and 18th.
Does Tallgrass want to specialize in, well, you said they do a nice mix.
Do they want
to specialize in maybe children's shows in the spring and summer, more adult in the winter?
Yes. I think because the children are out of school, it's easier to get, you know, we've got, like I said, we have actors that come in from all parts of the Kansas City metro and rural Kansas areas. So we're trying to arrange that.
Will all the performances always be at the same place? Or will you move from city to city, just to be fair?
Well,
you have one in Gardner, you have one in Paola.
Well, that's the concept. That's what we want to do, yes.
Maybe one outside under the stars?
Well, we might. You know, there were several folks who wanted to do Sleepy Hollow outside. But, you know, October's kind of
cold.
And a little bit, never can tell what's going to happen with the weather. So
if we're outside, you could get actual horses. Oh, I'm getting carried away, aren't I?
That's what they keep saying. We could have real horses. And
that's right.
Over the real bridge. Well, we're also doing The Homecoming, the story about Earl Hamner Jr.,
sure.
and which the Waltons were based mm-hmm. off of. We're doing that in December at Paola. We're looking to do The Princess and the Pea in the springtime in Gardner. So, yeah, we're trying to do. We even want to start a touring group as well.
Well, that would be fun, to go to schools and hospitals.
Right. And like I said, we want to be a center where even kids from Baker and Mid-America and Ottawa could come and do some internships as well.
Well, that's smart.
Yeah.
That's smart because they're eager and they need to learn so they can help you out and in the same way help you and themselves out.
Exactly. Yeah.
I suppose we should give some of these websites and phone numbers that I've been neglectful so far. If you want to read online about the Tallgrass Theater Company, go to the tallgrasstheatercompany.com, and you must have the at the beginning.
That's
because
right.
As you pointed out to me, there's another Tall Grass Theater Company somewhere.
Yeah, Des Moines, Iowa.
Well, the grass is tall up there as well.
That's true. That's true.
The tallgrasstheatercompany.com. And I also have down here the paolacommunitycenter.org.
Right, right. And the phone number for tickets right now for Hansel and Gretel would be 913-259-3650.
Are they able to buy them online? Some groups have that, some don't.
We don't as of right now, but also the tickets are also available at the door.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the ticket information prices are on our website.
Okay.
And our Facebook. Like us on Facebook.
Like the Tall Grass Theater Company on Facebook.
That's
as well.
Right. That's right. And all of our information.
That ensures that they'll get your information.
That's right. And also more information about our classes. In the fall, we're going to have a class on fairy tales. For younger children, ages 4 through 7. And then another class about midwinter that's going to be all about another performance class is going to be a Pinocchio. And those children will be performing Pinocchio. That's going to be over from June to about March, that class. And everyone who's in the class will be a part of the production.
Yeah, there are lessons to be learned by the show Pinocchio.
There's
a little bit deeper than what you think. Isn't it amazing how you hear and read all these stories as a child, and then when you get a little older, you realize there was more being said there than I originally thought.
You know, that's the nice thing about theater, is because theater takes that story and brings it to life and just puts it in your heart in a way that you really catch it as well. I call it working with a blank canvas. And when you put a show together, you're adding the paint and all the different hues of color that bring it to life. And it's a work of art.
It sure is. Let's get some of the specifics down if I haven't done so before. I don't think I have. First show, July 17th, a Thursday at 10 o'clock in the morning.
That's right.
Friday the 18th, also at 10 o'clock in the morning. Then they're going to go bold and go evening on it. Saturday the 19th at 7 p.m. The
Paola Community Center.
Okay. Well, give an address for it in case people do know.
Okay, that's 905 East Wea Street in Paola, Kansas. And again, that number is 913-259-3650. And again, that's a beautiful, beautiful building. People can rent it or use it for...
Are there directions on the website, just in case?
There is. There is. There's a map on the website.
Good. That's a big help. And the phone number as well. Oh, a Gretel's Ice Cream Birthday Party at 5:30, just before the performance on the 19th.
That's right.
I didn't know that Gretel liked ice cream.
Gretel likes everything. And we get to hear about that as well in the show. But, yes, it's actually the part of the show is about Gretel's birthday.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, there's a great birthday party, ice cream.
And she's actually born on the 19th of July?
Well, she is for this show.
Okay, that changes around.
That's
from
right.
Show to show. That's
yes.
Right.
And again, a shout-out to my kids, Christopher Waterman and Samantha Bard and Aaron Smith and Gabby Brummett. Let me see, who else am I thinking of? And Anna Overhyatt. They do a great, great job. I'm very proud of them.
Now, you have auditions coming up soon for Sleepy Hollow.
Right. That's July 23rd from 12 to 5, again at the Paola Community Center.
Yeah, that's a little spookier. It involves Ichabod Crane and the Headless Horseman.
Right, but again, the Disney version is our play.
The Disney version.
Yes.
Not quite as the...
A lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It's there's just a little spine tingling going on, and there's something special about the play that I can't reveal. It's a secret.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll get people to go right there.
There you go.
people always want to know what the deal is with secrets. They have to find out.
That's right. That's why we'll just keep it out there.
Okay, show opens now, Hansel and Gretel now, July 17th. It's a Thursday, 10 in the morning. Also Friday the 18th at 10 in the morning. Does it work better to have it at 10 in the morning for children?
For children, yes. And we have also group rates that people can get information on the line online at our website. But it, yeah, for daycare centers and schools.
Vacation Bible School,
vacation,
perhaps.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, it would be a great place to come out and see the show.
Yeah, don't want to scare the children.
And that's right.
As you say, this is not a particularly scary version.
No, no. There's just a little thunderclap here and there. Just enough to put you on the edge of the seat, but not enough to take you over the bridge. So.
That's right. Well, you know how fairy tales change over the years.
Right.
We're told that the versions we hear today really aren't like the ones. And I hear that especially with, what was the name? Grimm's fairy tales. They say the Grimm's fairy tales told in their day were much more horrifying than the Grimm's fairy tales we hear today.
I agree with that. One thing I don't like too much is that if something like Once Upon a Time, the TV show, but I don't want children to think that's the fairy tale.
Sure. It's interesting, but not exactly the way it was intended.
Right. So there are great. There's great lessons to be learned in those fairy tales.
Well, there are lessons to be learned in fairy tales.
Yes.
Yeah. And as we get older, we see more of that than we did even when we were younger.
Oh, exactly.
That's right. The Tall Grass Theater Company, Hansel and Gretel, July 17th in the morning at 10, July 18th, Friday at 10 in the morning, then an evening performance on Saturday the 19th at 7 o'clock, preceded by Gretel's ice cream birthday party. Her birthday is on July 19th this year.
That's right.
The number to call for more information is 913-259-3650, and the two websites are the, and you got You must have the in there, mm-hmm. thetallgrasstheatercompany.com, or the website for the Paola Community Center, Paola, communitycenter.org. That's where you can get information.
Oh, yes, and come out and enjoy Paola. It's a beautiful community. Love their town square. It was great.
Thank you so much for being with us. Sandy Miller, the director and executive director of the new Grassroots Theater Company, Tall Grass Theater Company. The grass is tall, but they do mow occasionally.
Hopefully not.
Hopefully not. Okay, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
We're going to take our mid-show break. When we come back, more fun for you. Oh, yes, it's going to be fun today. When we return, you're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM.
Freeze Frame! Hi, I'm Russ Simmons with Freeze Frame, KKFI's weekly look at the newest cinematic fare at your local theaters. Transformers: Age of Extinction may well become the biggest box office hit of the season. It may also be the most overblown, overproduced, and overlong movie of the season. The $165 million budget allowed director Michael Bay to splash the screen with all the extravagant 3D spectacle his computer-generated imaging team could muster. And while individual scenes are impressive, Bay has no idea how to build momentum within a story arc, so the sensational special effects devolve into mind-numbing mayhem after about 20 minutes of action. Since the movie is 2.5 hours long, that's an awful lot of numbing. Mark Wahlberg, Stanley Tucci, and Kelsey Grammer do what they can with the insipid script they've been given, but hey, who cares about a script? The reason we go to a Transformers movies is to see the cool robots wreak massive destruction. On that count, at least, it delivers. If your idea of entertainment is watching a Toys R Us explode, then Transformers: Age of Extinction fills the bill. Makers of the independent film Obvious Child reportedly didn't want it to be described as an abortion comedy, but in fact, that's exactly what it is. Former Saturday Night Live cast member Jenny Slate plays a struggling stand-up comic who gets dumped by her insensitive boyfriend. On the rebound, she has a one-night stand with a nice young man, and voila, she's preggers. What's a girl to do? Except for the vulgar language, Obvious Child is a pretty conventional romantic comedy that is so featherweight it nearly blows right off the screen. Slate, however, gives a very engaging, incredible performance that holds it all together. Slate's edgy affability is the obvious attraction of Obvious Child. Also opening this week, Grand Seduction is a British comedy starring Brendan Gleeson and Taylor Kitsch about a small fishing town's effort to procure a doctor. Well, that's it for this edition of Freeze Frame. Until next time, I'm Russ Simmons with Fox 4 and KKFI-FM.
Freeze Frame!
Is the latest flare of violence in Iraq merely the latest round in a 1,400-year-old war between two Muslim sects, or is that merely a frame designed to let the U.S. off the hook? Counterspin helps us sift through the punditry, Tuesday evening at 6:30 p.m.
The reluctant scion of an American political dynasty is forced to confront his country's most explosive social issue.
The civil and the economic rights essential to the human dignity of all men are indeed our goal.
RFK, The Journey to Justice by Murray Horowitz and Jonathan Estrin, next time on LA Theatre Works.
Wednesday evening at 7, right after ArtSpeak Radio.
And welcome back to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. We're going to go all the way from Paola all the way across, all the way to Blue Springs, Missouri, which is a lot closer to me, actually. You know, that may well be, in distance, the closest community theater to my house. Might well be the Blue Springs Civic Center, where they will be presenting Annie. Coming up on July 17th. Performances continue on the 18th. I have down here, Director Julie, two performances on the 19th, Saturday the 19th?
No, the 26th.
Just on the 26th?
Yes.
Not the 19th? We'll get all this closed out for you here in Blue Springs, where they are presenting Annie, opening on July the 17th with us. Several people from Annie here with us. So Julie McDaniel is the director. She's been here before, and
yes.
She has bitten off the big bite to do Annie the musical.
Yes,
what was the biggest challenge of doing a story that is so well known?
Oh, there's really not a challenge to it. It's an American treasure. Annie is. A sweet story.
Yes, I jokingly asked the young lady playing Annie, who ironically is named Annie. Did that go into her casting by any chance?
No. She had a brilliant audition, and she is actually 11, which is the age of Annie. She was wonderful. She is wonderful, and she's just going to be the most perfect Annie ever.
I was told that during the audition process that they weren't allowed to sing "The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow."
No, no, they weren't.
To.
No, we had a lot of "Let It Go," but not a lot of "The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow."
Yeah, is it a big cast?
It's a very big cast.
I mean,
for Blue Springs, it's nice.
You got orphans. You got. Bad people. You've got politicians, which kind of goes together with bad people.
We have Daddy Warbucks. We have the evil Miss Hannigan.
We played by Carol Burnett in the movie. Yeah. It was hard to think of her as evil, but.
And we have the wonderful Rooster and Lily. You know, Rooster is quite the villain.
Yeah.
And we have a house full of orphans, and we have Grace, who's in charge of the mansion, and she keeps things rolling. And we just have the most wonderful cast that you can imagine.
For people that don't know, this is a Broadway musical that was based on the comic strip Annie, which ran for years. I don't believe it's running currently.
No, it is not. It is not. They stopped running that. But it is an American treasure, and we are having the time of our life.
You know, I noticed on your website it said, with special permission of Media Tribune Services. Is that the company that currently owns the comic strip Annie? Do we know?
I think so, yes. I think so.
And that's why you would have to get their permission to do the show. Yeah. But it was a big musical. It was very successful in its day.
Absolutely.
Even a dog is in the show. You have a dog.
Yes, we do.
A trained dog.
Yes, we do. Our Sandy is actually our lovely Fiona, but she does a magnificent job. She's very well trained, and we are very, very blessed to have her.
Directors have told me in the past, jokingly, I'm sure, directing the dog was much easier than directing the kids.
Oh, I don't know. She does a pretty good job, doesn't she, Annie? She does. She does a really good job.
Okay, let's talk to some of your cast. Annie Smith plays the role of Annie. You didn't change your name for this, did you?
What?
Just curious. If people go to great lengths for parts these days.
I don't change my name.
Okay. Get a little closer to the microphone for me, Annie. Yeah, get your mouth a little closer to the microphone for me, would you? Could hear you a little bit better. Well, is this a role that you sought out?
Not really.
Not really? Well, what role did you want? Did you want Miss Hannigan?
No. It's just that I've always liked acting, so
sure.
It's like a really good chance for me. So, like, I just tried out for all the orphans and every single one that I could actually go into.
You tried out for all of them? And
yeah.
You're just hoping to get a role, but you ended up with the lead role. A lot of responsibility with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What song did you sing for your audition? I'm just curious.
I sang No Business Like Show Business.
Oh, so when I played that to open the show, you probably found that quite ironic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How many songs do you have in this show?
I have two solo songs. I sing in quite a few others.
Yeah? You join in with the chorus. Mm-hmm. What are the two main songs that you sing? Well, one would be obviously The Sun Will
Tomorrow,
Come Out Tomorrow.
And Maybe.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Can you identify with her role at all? You probably never saw the comic strip. Or did people show you copies of it? They're probably all on the internet somewhere.
Well, I actually haven't read any of them or anything.
So you were kind of in the dark about this character?
I've watched the movie and that she's like bright and stuff like that, but I've never actually read the comic strips.
Did you want that, Julie?
Oh, I didn't really expect them, the younger children to really know the comic strip that much. I was looking for someone who was energetic, someone who I knew could handle the role, and I had close to 60 girls try out.
Oh, wow.
And then I narrowed it down to three the day of callbacks, and she was one of them, and she just came in there and nailed it. So it's her job, and she's doing fantastic.
You just nailed it, Annie.
She did.
What have you done before, and have you done shows before in school or community theater?
I've done two other shows in community theater. I've done the Laurie Ingalls Wilder Christmas, which was this Christmas. I was in the choir, and I also did Oliver. And I was one of the orphans.
Ah, well, is that what you're thinking behind maybe getting one of the orphan roles? Because you've done it before. Mm-hmm. Experience always counts, you know.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, you break a leg out there. Have you heard that term? You're not going to be insulted if I say break a leg out there.
No, I've heard that before.
Okay. All right. Well, hang in there. One of the other feature players in the show, and you need to get really close to the microphone, Robert Ritter, who plays the role of Daddy Warbucks, this
right.
rich guy.
Yeah, I wish I could say I was typecast for that.
We all would like to be billionaires.
Yeah, who is he patterned after in real life? Some people say Rockefeller.
I think he's kind of an amalgam of the robber baron type, self-made man. He really doesn't care about other people. Money is his one driving factor, and he wouldn't really be interested in folks in general at this time in history if it weren't for the fact that there's a depression going on and it's impacting his bottom line as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, the show makes very clear, at least in some of the versions I've seen, you know, he's a Republican, but yet he goes to the White House to see Franklin Roosevelt.
Well, you know, you got to have friends in high places,
even if
you have to cross those political lines to do so.
That's right. Now, it's an important role because you decide at some point you want to adopt Annie.
Yes, she fills a need that he doesn't know he has. Until he starts to give of himself, he doesn't really realize that he's not just self-made, but he's dependent upon the people around him. And he starts to understand by the end of the show that it's not just him. His staff have actually been very close to him over the years. Particularly his secretary, he starts to fall in love a little bit with her. He certainly falls for Annie. Because he sees in her, I think, something that something of himself when he was younger, but at the same time, this soul mate that he's never had an opportunity to develop before.
So Daddy Warbucks had no children of his own?
Daddy Warbucks grew up an orphan himself.
I see.
He had no parents from the age of 10, and he had no children, and he just really didn't have a lot of interpersonal relationships. Folks at the club. That's about it.
At the club.
Yep.
Sounds like a rich guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there is a complication in this, Julie, in that there are bad people involved. They switched on me here when I wasn't looking. But there are nefarious people going on.
Oh, yes. We have all sorts of twists going on. We have people that would like to get a little bit of Daddy Warbucks' money.
Would this guy be one of those?
Oh, that rooster.
Define nefarious. I mean, that's just not the... I don't know that word.
Well, Greg Lane is with us. Or as he told me, Greg Rooster Lane.
That's me.
When I last saw, I saw you do The Sound of Music in Raytown.
Yeah, that was the one.
Yeah. You sing as well as perform, and you took on the one of the bad guys in this role.
Yeah, it's kind of fun being a bad guy. It really is. No, it's been great. I mean, we have a great cast, and it's fun being the bad guy. It really is. And, yeah, I'm not really bad. I get a lot of blamed on a lot of stuff I don't really do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they all say that, though.
Me and my sis ended up in a bad place. This is my sis, Miss Hannigan.
Yeah.
Did you know we were brother and sister?
Now, you guys, not to give too much of the plot away for those who don't know it, although a lot of people do know it, but you decided that you want to kidnap this young lady?
Oh, it wasn't my idea. Don't lay that at my door. I had nothing to do with it. I'm just a simple person. I'm just taking care of all these kids.
Oh,
it's his idea.
Sis, I see how it is, you know. Kidnap's such an ugly word.
Yeah, we're just going to borrow her.
But I did bring my squeeze, this cute little cookie next to me here. This is Lily St. Regis.
Lily St.
How are you?
Played by Janet Shulman?
Shulman, yeah.
Okay.
She's named after
a hotel. How are you
today?
I'm doing fine. I'm just trying to sort out who the good guys from the bad guys.
Oh, I'm good. I'm all good.
That's how you say.
Yeah, I'm all good.
I'm good, too. I'm just misunderstood.
Well, that's what he said.
Well... We're the downtrodden. We're the downtrodden. We're not rich like Warbucks.
Yeah, he was telling you about how he grew up an orphan, you know. We're not that deep. We're just kind of more looking at having a good time.
We
you
had
know
a
I
mother.
Mean?
Our mother would bless her heart.
Yeah, poor mom.
Poor mom.
Okay, now, you kind of worked... your actual name is Diana Lynn.
Yes, I'm okay, Diana Lynn.
You're kind of working it from the inside.
Oh, no, I'm just a hapless victim myself.
Well, explain for the audience.
I am the matron of the orphanage where dear little Annie and several other young ladies live, and I look after them very lovingly. Shut up. You shut up.
She's not well either. She has
and
to
everything
take her
is,
medicine.
You hush. Everything is going just fine until my brother gets sprung from Sing Sing.
Oh, really?
And he's
got 6 months
already
off for good behavior.
Yeah, tell him what it was.
Oh, some guy from Yonkers said I swindled him out of $1,100.
And why did he say that?
Because he swindled the guy out of
$1,100. Oh, Lil, come on.
He drags me down. He drags me into it.
Yeah. I don't know who to believe.
Just looking for an opportunity, you know.
Frankly, I throw you all in jail.
Hey, I'm on the city. I work for the city.
Oh, that's bad.
I work for the city. I got a steady salary, free food, free gas, and electric, and I'm doing all right.
Ah, sis, you're doing like we're doing.
Lousy. We're all doing lousy.
I think you get the idea. What's going on here? Now, Janet, in the role of Lily.
Yes.
Why do you have anything
you?
To do with this guy?
Well,
I think it's pretty clear. Look at me, you know.
Yeah, he's a nice looking guy. I'm kind of attracted to him, and he swings me around a lot and stuff, and I like him.
I'm candy for the ladies.
Yeah, he's a nice looking guy.
Are we looking forward to him perhaps getting some of that blackmail money?
Oh yeah, $50,000. Yeah, we're gonna be living high on the hog.
Oh, you got it.
High on the hog. Brother Ben.
It's gonna be fun.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Needless to say, these are very fun roles to play with.
You're having fun with it, I can see.
Not really, but hey.
It's a fun show.
It's fun.
I must admit, though, when I went to callbacks and I saw all those little girls, I really wanted to turn and run.
Why?
Because they can't shut up. They talk. But they're really, they're cute.
The kids are amazing. I've never worked with little kids like that, and it's just so much fun to see all the little stuff that they can do and their dances. And Annie is
so
just,
fast.
Oh, my gosh, I had never met Annie before, and she is amazing.
The true tragedy of this whole thing is here we doing our roles, playing, you know, being real serious about this, and then you got a dog and kids that steal the show from you.
Yeah, every time we turn around.
It's terrible.
Yeah, the dog is always one of the features of
this Annie. Dog is amazing.
She's 10 years old. Fiona, our dog, is 10 years old, and she has done this role before, so she's just a delight. But the hardest thing, I think everybody will agree, the hardest thing about working with this dog is that nobody but Annie gets to have any interaction with her until the show is over. So she only
bonds
with Annie, and the rest of us have to not make eye contact with her or stroke her or talk to her, and it's really hard for dog lovers.
But she growled at me. I don't know.
Well, that's because she knows who you are.
Dogs have a feeling about people. Yeah.
That's right.
And they know. Yeah. Why was it such a beloved show over the years, do you think?
I think it's just because it's really reflective of life. You know, there are the wealthy, and there are the poor, and there are the people in between, and everybody's trying to claw their way up, and the goodness of the child comes through in the end, and we all get put in our place. Some of us got put in the city slammer, but...
don't give them the end of the show. Come on.
Well, you've been there already, so that's all I'm saying.
I can see that you all are interacting. Did this come easily with this cat?
Absolutely.
Except for the dancing.
Well, we don't like that.
I mean, I got some moves, but not really good moves, but I got moves.
Well, I've seen you dance before.
Oh, yes, you have.
And The Sound of Music, was that a waltz?
Yeah.
I waltzed, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't waltz.
And
so
we go
much
back a long ways. Remember 75?
Yeah. Greg was an amateur, well, professional magician.
Oh,
yeah,
he's
back in the day. You still do tricks for these people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wants something to disappear.
I get to actually do a slight, a simple illusion for this show. Make a switchblade disappear.
I'll make a switchblade disappear. Oh, that's
roaster.
That's fun, actually. Get closer to the microphone, Annie, and tell me. These bad people don't seem so bad. Are you easily taken in by their shenanigans?
They're really nice.
They
but
are.
They are really, 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 really,
well,
really, really,
I would
really
be
nice.
Fooled if I were you.
Yeah,
I think it's the rooster charm is what it is, you know?
And they're all hilarious. Like, that's what I love.
Yeah.
I love to be funny.
Yeah. Well, welcome. We all love to be funny. Not everyone is so early about it. But Daddy Warbucks, I guess, help me out here, Daddy.
Sure.
Daddy Warbucks, you hear about Annie, she comes to visit. How exactly did that work? It's been a while.
Well, I decided out of the goodness of my heart to open up my home to an orphan for the Christmas holidays.
Yeah.
Just for 2 weeks, mind you.
Just for 2 weeks.
But I have a secretary who is constantly undermining my solitude.
I see.
And she decides to get this adorable little girl instead of the little boy I thought I was going to, you know, be able to introduce to cool guys like Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig. She doesn't know who Babe Ruth is. But so I get tricked into this, really. But you know how that goes sometimes. You fall for someone, and all of a sudden, that's all she wrote. And 2 weeks turns into a lifetime.
Yeah, does the fact that you came from an orphanage make you bond a little better with her than you would?
Perhaps that's what it's all about. Or maybe it's just because all of a sudden, someone is not afraid to stand up to him and make Warbucks realize that he really does need someone in his life. It's not all just about him,
sure.
For once. Mm-hmm. Now, that's something that we all need to learn, which is one of the things that I think make this show timeless. Because we get together and we realize it doesn't matter how much money you have. If you don't have people in your life that matter to you, then life doesn't matter.
Oh, well.
And that's one of the things that Warbucks finally concludes.
Yeah. always get a kick out of that scene where he goes to the White House. And it's not until you read some of your history books do you realize that these are all names of people that actually were in the Roosevelt administration.
Oh, yeah. FDR was very forward-thinking. He was he had the first woman cabinet member, Perkins. So she's cast as a woman traditionally in the show because she was. Yeah, the show tends to be very historical. Great references, you know, if you're a fan of the old things. We've got Elliot Ness and Al Capone and we've got classic radio shows.
A colleague of Rooster's, Mr. Capone.
Yes, yes. I think they were on a first name basis.
Yeah, they probably were.
But, you know, we've got some classic commercials, old radio commercials, just some fun stuff that will really turn that nostalgia clock back for people.
Yeah, what's your big number in the show?
Oh, I've got a couple of solos, but both of them are directed at my newfound love, Annie. So I get to sing about or for her, for the most part. One of those is Something Was Missing, mm-hmm. when he finally realizes that life just doesn't make sense without someone important.
It sure doesn't. And that's one of the beautiful things about the show. Annie opens July 17th. Well, we'll get this. We're going to get this nailed down now for sure. Here. July 17th, 18th, and 19th. Now, this is what I have down. So correct me if I'm wrong. Thursday the 17th at 7:30. That's opening night.
Yes.
Friday the 18th at 7:30.
Correct.
And Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m.
Right.
Okay, one of these Saturdays has a matinee, but not this one.
I do believe it's the 26th is what I'm reading.
Okay, now I have Sunday the 20th at 2 o'clock p.m., a matinee. Then you get them some much-deserved time off for the crooks.
BlueSpringCityTheater.com. We'll have all the information.
Aha! At BlueSpringCityTheater.com, you can get this information. We'll still try to nail it down for you as well. Then the next week, Friday the 25th at 7:30, Saturday the 26th, two performances, the
right.
afternoon at 2 o'clock p.m., and in the evening on the 26th at 7:30 p.m., then it wraps up on the 27th with a matinee at 2 o'clock p.m. at the Blue Springs Civic Theater. That's on the campus of Blue Springs High School.
Correct.
The number to call for more information is 816-228-0137. 229. Gonna have to change that here. So it's 816-229-0137. That is the number to call. Or online at BlueSpringsCityTheater.com. And that's where all the information on showtimes is as well.
One other thing, it is great kid fare. I mean, it's completely great for kids to come see this. There's nothing inappropriate in it. It's just a fun, fun show. They will love it.
Yeah.
That's why we have so many matinees. That's where the kids are.
The kids and the old people, you know. I don't stay up very late, so.
Do you know? Did you cast people, Julie, on the basis of singing ability as well as acting ability?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I knew exactly what I was looking for, and I have an amazing cast. I truly do. I couldn't be more pleased. I mean, being a director, that's the number one thing, is to cast a good show. Cast the best candidate for the lead. And I did that. I did that. And I have an amazing show. I couldn't be more proud of everyone. They have all worked so hard, and they're so ready to go and do this show. They can't wait to get started.
Yeah, because it's a period piece, costuming would be important.
Oh, absolutely. It's a period piece. We have most of the ladies, you know, it's based in the 30s, so we have Hooverville, you know, when a lot of people were poor back then and they lived down in Hooverville. Of course, we're all kind of transient then. It's a lot of fun down there. We sing a great show about a little song about how we really are not crazy about Herbert Hoover and where he's kind of put us. But yes, it's a period piece. Most of the women are in 30s. Hairstyles will be in the 30s.
A costuming hair person?
That's me.
That would be you.
That would be me.
Wow.
And I think everybody is looking really quite wonderful.
of course, Rooster, you know, he's kind of all in his, like, zoot suit. And,
zoot suit.
And looking fine.
He's looking mighty fine. He's
for the ladies.
Eye candy for the ladies.
That's right. Now, Annie actually came to the show in costume. Thank you for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you
she's making the rest of us look bad.
I know.
Yeah.
You can keep your hairstyle like that for the rest of your life.
No. I'm gonna leave my hair straight. I like it straight.
Okay.
It itches when it's all puffed up like this.
Okay. Well, you'll have to put up with it for about another month or so. Mm-hmm. Then you'll be all right. She performs in the title role. Annie plays Annie in the title role of Annie, opening on Thursday, July 17th at the Blue Springs Civic. At the Blue Springs Theater Company, performances in the Blue Springs Civic Center. The number to call, again, for more information, 816-229-0137 or online at bluespringscitytheater.com. The Blue Springs Civic Theater is at 2000 Northwest Ashton Drive, Blue Springs, Missouri. And it's not too far, just a little south of I-70.
Yes.
What's that connecting street that goes from the outer road down south to the high school?
22nd.
22nd Street. Okay, that's the one you got to go.
I
want to thank all my guests for coming. It was a big cast here today. Julie McDaniel, the director of the show. Annie Smith, who plays the role of Annie. Robert Ritter, who plays the role of Daddy Warbucks. Janet Schulman, who plays the role of Lily. And Diana Leonard, who plays the role of Miss Hannigan. And Greg Roosterling in the role of Rooster in this production, plus a lot more in the cast as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Who weren't able to come. So a lot of orphans and children and all
18
that.
Orphans.
Yeah, that's a lot.
A lot.
That's right.
That's why I have to take medicine.
I'm sure you do.
They're rotten little orphans.
Thanks so much for being with us. The Jazz Insider is next. Great jazz from 1 to 3. And the blues from 3 to 6. I believe this is their play day. Joe Mama comes to join Lady D for their end of the month play date. I believe that is today. So jazz from 1 to 3, the blues from 3 to 6, right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that crossing the road, I'm Michael Hogue. We'll see you next time.